Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batson with Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. Watching Kabul, but at the same time watching all of Asia. And to help us understand, Grant Newsham joins. Grant is the CEO of CasePAC. He observes the vice president's embassy to Singapore and Vietnam, coming in the midst of the fog of war in Kabul. Grant, a very good evening to you. First, the mission statement by the White House, by the vice president's office. What is the purpose of this visit to our allies? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening. And well, charitably put, the intention for sending the vice president to Southeast Asia was to reassure allies, to warn off the Chinese, to not get any ideas. And that was the basic purpose. I'd say that's putting it charitably.
Yes. Yeah, and I appreciate charity. This trip was no doubt long since arranged. The timing you can't control. Singapore is a friend to prosperity and democracy, although there are caveats. Vietnam is none of the above. Is there a significance of going to a capitalist state, Singapore, networking of the banking of Southeast Asia, and then to Vietnam, which is a communist state and long understood to be a sad point in American life?
Well, Singapore is the one country in Southeast Asia which has done the most to support the United States, particularly the military presence in the region. They allow the Americans to operate Navy ships out of Singapore naval bases. And they've just been all around very cooperative, although they have been wavering in recent years and are trying to stay on top of the fence to have okay relations with China and not upset the Americans at the same time. Vietnam is an interesting case, of course, because they are the one country in Southeast Asia which is combative and is under pressure from the Chinese, but is also willing to bite back. So this administration and the previous one and other ones have tried to sort of rekindle a relationship with Vietnam, our former enemies, and see where it goes. It's still in the early stages, but it's largely as a way to link up and create some sort of a connection to take on China or to resist Chinese aggression.
Gordon, an historical detail for our younger audience. After the Vietnam War and the U.S. retreat, the U.S. support for the South Vietnamese government and its collapse after 1975, there's a great deal of equipment left behind in the hands of the fled South Vietnamese government that then was the possession of Vietnam. And there was a sharp, sharp border war between Vietnam and China, which at the time, I recall, Vietnam was said to have won. Is that fact a bitter feeling in China? Does that fact inform enmity between Hanoi and Beijing?
I think that in Hanoi, they view this as a victory, which they should, because basically China's first string army, which was there to teach Vietnam a lesson, as Deng Xiaoping said, got whipped by Vietnam's third string. And I think that if anyone got a lesson out of this, it was the Chinese. You know, you don't hear the communists in China talk about this incursion, and largely because they were humiliated. And unlike humiliations that have been dealt to the Chinese from the British and the French and the Japanese, this one has no political resonance for the Communist Party. You know, for Vietnam, they look at China and they say, well, look, you know, who are these Chinese? We beat the crap out of them.
You have a question for Grant, Gordon.
Grant, Beijing's propaganda in the wake of the fall of Kabul has really been very triumphalist with regard to the United States. And they talk incessantly about the quote-unquote Saigon moment, referring to what John just said, America's retreat from South Vietnam. But, you know, if there is a Saigon moment, it would seem to be a lesson for the Chinese rather than us, because right now we have a Vietnam which is probably closer to Washington than it is to Beijing. And we have a Vietnam that is working very closely with our friends in the region, India, Taiwan, and Japan. It would seem to me that the United States makes grievous mistakes, but we also recover from them. Is this a lesson that the Chinese, you think, take on board? Or are they just so bound up in their arrogance right now that they don't realize that the U.S. does have the ability to bounce back?
I think it's the latter. I think they feel like they've got the wind in their sails. They've seen the Americans humiliated, and they're crowing about it. They're using that as their propaganda message throughout the region. But there's also something different in this case compared to the Vietnam era, and that is, after Vietnam, America's business and financial classes did not pour into America's principal enemy, the Soviet Union. And these days you have American business and finance falling over itself to get into China, further into China, and to keep funding the Chinese Communist Party. And that is a huge distinction to my way of thinking. And China, it's they may see themselves as really having an advantage beyond just the military balance. They've got really, as I said, American finance and business propping them up. And that is something that is dangerous.
The vice president, in her remarks in Asia, mentions prominently the South China Sea and the conflict of the South China Sea. That has been true for some time, for the previous administration, for the previous administration. Is there anything new in her, in the vice president's remarks to the ears in Asia?
Not that I can see. It's a lot of talk, unfortunately, and I would point to sort of one point. When the American Navy sends a ship into the South China Sea, the Chinese escort it, and they can still deploy 10 ships for every one the Americans can put in. So unless America is willing to establish a sensible plan to build its navy, a plan to properly fund defense, what she said is just, unfortunately, just a lot of talk. You can assure people that you're committed. The events in Kabul sort of suggest otherwise. And those assurances without some concrete actions are not going to be very convincing, I'm afraid.
Gordon, there must be a Chinese proverb that goes, cost money to buy rum. Something like that. Talk being cheap. Gordon, you have a question for Grant.
Grant, KCPAC is Korea involved? And just a question, off the top of your head, what are the South Koreans saying about the debacle in Kabul, about America's commitment to defend, for instance, South Korea?
Well, it depends on which Koreans you're talking to. And I will take the administration of the current president, Moon Jae-in. He is on record as having said when Vietnam fell, that he was euphoric about the Americans getting their comeuppance. I imagine he's equally delighted as to what happens in Kabul. That administration are extreme leftists who see Americans as ultimately the enemy. They'd like to get them off the peninsula, even if they're often coy about it. But many Koreans, and there's more to Korea than just Moon Jae-in and his people, they are concerned about the U.S. commitment. And I know that the U.S. side is saying, well, Asia is so important that we really will dig in our heels here. Don't worry about Afghanistan. That wasn't all that important. But when you'll give up on one small thing, there's no guarantee that you'll take on the big thing. So the South Koreans are concerned, just like every other country in Asia that has been counting on the United States to counterbalance China and ultimately to protect them.
Last thought. Did you see anything in Vietnam that crowed about 1975, or did they keep quiet? 15 seconds.
Well, the Russians took full advantage of it after Vietnam fell. And the Russia at that time, the Chinese were not much of an issue for us. Russia, the global power that challenged us, these days it's China.
Grant Newsham, the CEO of KCPAC, Gordon Chang of @GordonGChang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Mash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Data privacy. Hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.